Okay, the title of the message tonight is Be Careful What You Wish For, Are Feminists Ready to Go to War? So tonight we're going to talk about the proposal to require women to register for the military selective service. Our scripture is in Joshua 1, verses 12 to 14. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. Let's pray. God, we thank you that we could gather here together, Lord. We thank you for your word, Lord, and we thank you that it's perfect, God. And we're not perfect, Lord, so please keep us from error tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, this issue has been in the news lately. I'm sure we've all seen it. And there have been debates and disagreements among politicians and online commentators. There are both Democrats and Republicans that are in favor of registering women for the draft. So opinion is not split along party lines. As Christians, we know we shouldn't follow any particular political party. We should always research and look in the scriptures to see where we should fall on the issue. In these last days, we know the lines between gender roles are increasingly blurred. So what does the Bible say about women in the military? And how should we as Christians respond to this current debate? First, let's look at the current controversy a bit closer. An article in The Hill titled, Firestorm Erupts Over Requiring Women to Sign Up for Military Draft, sheds light on the discussion. Senate Democrats have introduced language into the annual defense authorization bill that would require women to register for the draft. This proposal has faced backlash from Republicans and social conservatives, making it harder for the bill to pass before Election Day. This is not the first time such a measure has been proposed. Senator Josh Hawley from right here in Missouri led efforts to remove similar language from the defense authorization bills in 2021 and 2022. However, the issue persists, with some Republicans now expressing support for the idea of women registering for the selective service system, just like men when they turn 18. There are a few reasons behind this proposal. One of the motivations is the current challenge of lower recruitment levels in the military. Supporters argue that including women and the draft could help address this issue. Additionally, there's a push for so-called gender equality, reflecting the broader societal changes influenced by feminist movements. But is this push for equality in all areas aligned with God's design for men and women? First, we'll take a quick look at the historical context. The gender roles have completely changed over the years. In the past, drafting women into the military wasn't considered because of the physical strength differences between men and women. Because of this, military service has predominantly been handled by men. In many ancient cultures, soldiers were typically men who owned land or held significant roles in society. This practice was based on the belief that men were naturally suited for the physical and mental demands of combat and defense. In biblical times, military service was a critical aspect of maintaining national security and fulfilling God's commands. Men were called to protect their families, communities, and nation from external threats. This responsibility was not taken lightly, and the qualifications for military service were well laid out by God in the Bible. For instance, God commanded Moses to take a census of all the men of Israel who were 20 years old and older and able to go to war. The Bible says in Numbers 1, verses 2 and 3, Take ye the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel, after their families, by the house of their fathers, with the number of their names, every male by their polls. From 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel, thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies. This highlights the expectation that men, as protectors and warriors, were to be prepared for battle. The Bible provides other examples of men being called to serve in the military. We learn about David's mighty men in 2 Samuel 23. Verse 8 says, These be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino the Eznite. He lift up his spear against 800, whom he slew at one time. The chapter goes on to list out the remaining mighty men and their accomplishments. The Bible offers other valuable insights into the roles and expectations of men and women, especially in the context of military service and combat. The Bible says in Jeremiah 51:30, "The mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. They have remained in their holds. Their might hath failed. They became as women. They have burned her dwelling places. Her bars are broken." So Jeremiah describes the failure of Babylon's mighty men to defend their city. It's likened to becoming as women, which shows that women are not warriors meant to fight. This confirms the expectation that men were called to be strong and courageous in the face of conflict, while women were not typically involved in the battles. The Bible also says in 1 Peter 3:7, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Here the Bible recognizes wives as the weaker vessel. This doesn't mean that women are inferior. It points out the differences in physical strength and roles between men and women. It reminds us that men are to protect and cherish their wives. Psalm 144:1 says, "Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight." Here we see the role of men as warriors, trained by God to defend and protect. The imagery of hands and fingers trained for battle underscores the physical and mental preparation required for combat. Next, I'd like to highlight the fact that most feminists likely don't actually want to fight in a war, but they're getting what they ask for. In the pursuit of so-called equality, feminists have long advocated for equal treatment and opportunities for women, including in traditionally male-dominated fields like the military. The story of the Israelites demanding quail in the wilderness illustrates how God sometimes grants our desires, even when we ask improperly or those desires are not beneficial for us. The Israelites grew tired of the manna that God provided and demanded meat. Despite God's provision, they insisted on their desires, and God granted their request, sending quail. However, this led to dire consequences as many were struck with a severe plague. The Bible says in Numbers 11, verses 18 to 20, "And say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, Who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month, until it come out at your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, Why came we forth out of Egypt?" It goes on to say in verses 31 to 33, "And there went forth a wind from the Lord, and brought quails from the sea, and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, and as it were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, and as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. And the people stood up all that day, and all that night, and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. He that gathered least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague." So God gave the people what they wanted, flesh to eat, but plagued them for murmuring. It seems that something similar is happening with the feminist movement. By blurring the gender distinctions and not accepting the way God made us, they've gone against God's natural order. While God may allow them to advance their agenda, they're moving down a self-destructive path. Another example is when Israel asked for a king in rebellion against God's order. 1 Samuel 8, verses 4 to 7 says, "Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." God even warned the people through Samuel that they were making a mistake. The Bible goes on to say in verses 11 through 19, "And he said, This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen. And some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. Samuel goes on to list more negative aspects of having a king. Jumping down to verse 18, the Bible says, "And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king which ye have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, Nay, but we will have a king over us. The people ignored the warning, leading to troubles with their kings and rampant sin in the nation." The feminists have now ended up in a similar position. God may allow them to have their wish of equality, but it is in an area that they have no desire to be in. And just how far will the country go in their rebellion against God's order for men and women? They need to refute the simplest and most obvious way to observe gender differences: physical strength. The army has been trying to lower fitness test standards for women. After years of complaints and debate, the army currently allows women to pass the physical requirements with reduced standards. This decision was made because women struggled to pass the previous gender-neutral physical exam. Women particularly had problems with the leg tuck exercise, leading to the introduction of an alternative test of core strength called the plank. Ultimately, the leg tuck was removed from the test entirely. Lowering standards to accommodate differences in men and women could compromise the effectiveness of the military. God put these physical differences in place for a reason. If we accept the roles that God gave us and work to excel in all that he's called us to do, God can bless the nation. And consider the harsh reality of war. Not everyone is cut out for battle. The current conflicts going on in the world show us the importance of having a military force that is both physically and mentally prepared for the challenges of combat. War is brutal and demanding. It requires immense strength and resilience. There are stories of Ukrainian men trying to avoid enlisting altogether. They understand the danger they'll be in. The media right now is actively encouraging women to enlist, showing Ukrainian female heroes who have fought on the front lines, even losing limbs in combat. In reality, would any of the college-age protesters want to actually fight in the battles they support so strongly? For most of them, the answer is no, but at some point they may not have a choice. While not all positions in the military would be combat positions, the proposal to draft women into the military raises many concerns. As Christians, we have to look at the spiritual implications of this type of change. God's design for men and women includes distinct roles and responsibilities. While women contribute valuable support at home, combat and military service don't align with God's intended roles for them. And why have feminists been fighting for the right to be drafted? They argue that drafting only men implies that men are more valuable. Women aren't considered valuable enough to be drafted. But look at what the Bible says in 2 Samuel 21, verses 15 to 17. "Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel, and David went down, and his servants with him, and fought against the Philistines. And David waxed faint, and Ishbibenob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him, and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David sware on him, saying, Thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel." David was likely the most valuable person in all Israel, and his men recognized his importance, so they didn't want him to go into battle. The argument that drafting men shows that they are seen as more valuable is not correct. We tend to want to protect valuable and precious things, which is how we view our women. Proverbs 31 describes the virtuous woman and her value. It emphasizes her strength in her role within the family. Verses 25 to 26 state, "Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness." We can see here the unique strengths and virtues of women. Their roles in nurturing and supporting their families are emphasized. It does not diminish her value, but rather celebrates her wonderful God-given qualities. In conclusion, as we come across issues like this and the move toward political correctness, we must turn to God's word for guidance. The King James Bible provides a clear outline of the distinct roles of men and women, and we should strive to honor these distinctions in all areas of life, including the military. We should pray for our leaders as we face this push to go outside of God's design for men and women, and praise God for the unique roles he has given us. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you, Lord, that you tell us exactly how you want us to behave and our roles, Lord God. We pray that we would seek in your word how we should act, Lord, and always run everything up against your word, Lord, before we make decisions. In Jesus' name, amen.